Father, we want to give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow before you, Father. Because there is a sphere of influence you're building in us, O God, that will one day fill all of our being and manifest the universe in which we live, move and have our being, in you, by you and through you, Father. And we know, Lord, that your word has the intent of creating within us a witness that will enable us, O God, to stand, O God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That righteousness, holiness and truth will be the spheres of influence in which we live, move and have our being in you, Father. And these will be realities that you will manifest in each one of our lives. So Father, we commit this time into your hands and we ask you, O Lord, to continue to manifest in us, O God, the realities of your word. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are talking about building spheres of influence. Right? Building spheres of influence. A lot of people have been talking about the fact that you have to confess the Word of God. But what are you doing when you confess the Word of God? Or when you live the Word of God? You are creating a sphere of influence in God, right? Within you and around you, right? So God does, it's God who creates the sphere of influence. We realize it, okay? So, the spheres of influence that God wants to build into our lives come to us through the Word of God. And as we confess the Word of God, it depends on how we understand the Word of God, how we see the Word of God, and how we grow in the Word of God. The reality of the Word of God has to be open to us, right? So God says, I love you. And you turn to the Lord and you say, I love you. You mean it. When he says, I love you, and you say, I love you, it's a totally different reality. All right? God's saying, I love you, is perfect, complete, full. You saying, I love you to God, is something that has to grow and grow and grow. So as you say, I love you, and you keep on confessing that and manifesting that in your worship, the sphere of influence that manifests inside of your heart, the reality that you love God begins to grow. It begins to grow, it also begins to deepen, it also begins to be deeper and deeper and deeper. The meaning of it begins to grow inside of you. Are you with me? So in that process, a sphere of influence is opening. All right? A sphere of influence is opening. Or a reality in God is being opened to you. All right? So what is the sphere of influence that God has given us? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 14 and 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Praise the Lord. What does he say? The word is in your mouth and in your heart. Amen. He says mouth first and then he says heart. Why does he say mouth first? Because if you don't say it, you don't have it. It is only as you speak that you understand what is inside of you. Right? It is when you start speaking about somebody that you begin to discover what you really think about that person. Right? And as you continue to speak about that person, the hidden anger, the hidden hate, all starts coming out. And if you listen to what you are saying, you will realize that there's a whole bunch of stuff hidden inside of you. Are you listening? Right? I'm talking there about evil. In the same way when we talk about truth, it is only as you speak the word of God that you begin to see and understand what the word of God really means to you. Right? Now we confess the word of God when we preach, when we teach, when we share, when we talk to each other, when we talk to our wives and our husbands, when we talk to our children. We confess the Word of God, and in confessing the Word of God, you are articulating a reality that is inside of you. If you keep confessing the same thing over and over and over again, you will find over time that its meaning starts growing inside of you. Right? That the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, of my Lord Jesus Christ, will give to me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. I started saying that probably 11 years ago. Today it means a lot more to me than it was 11 years ago. I have been declaring that statement that the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ will give to me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the true, full and perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of my heart will be enlightened, so that I will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards me who believes in Him. Right? I've been saying that almost every day for 11 years now. Right? But how I said it in the first time and how I say it today is totally different. Today that verse found in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 to 19 is alive in me. It is part and parcel of my ministry. In fact, my entire spiritual growth is based on those three verses. Are you listening? Right? I have a revelation of Jesus Christ living in my life, and it's a growing revelation. Right? It's a sphere of influence opened inside of me in Christ Jesus, and it's continuing to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. The surpassing greatness of His power towards me, that's manifesting. Right? So I see people getting healed. I see people being set free. I see the lives of people changing. As the word is preached and people receive the word, I see people's lives being changed, people's character being changed. That's the power of God. Are you listening? Right? And God is creating in my life a sphere of influence in which He comes through. And you must understand you are entitled to just as much. Because of the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received, and grace upon grace. Praise the Lord. So this sphere of influence that God is building inside of us, it is limitless. Amen? It is limitless. Alright? So you need to understand this. Okay? So when people talk about confession, it is not just simply uttering the words over and over again. It is making sense of the words. Unveiling the witness inside of those words. You take a single word like love, there's a humongous witness inside that one word. The Bible says God is love. That means if you open that word called love, you will see God. You will know God. You will come to belong to God. You will come to know that God is more real than anything else you know. You will begin to understand that God is more powerful and more wonderful than anything else you know. It's all hidden in that one word called love. Are you listening? Right? So when God takes that one word and He says it's in your mouth and in your heart, what is He saying? If you keep on focusing on confessing this word love, love for God, love for your brethren, through your life and through your deeds, it will manifest in your life and you will be transformed by it. Amen? That God will give you, I just said, the knowledge of Him, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. What is enlightened? Put on light. So in being enlightened, what is God opening to you? A sphere of influence. He's opening to you a reality. The reality in the word love is actually infinite. The reality in the word wisdom is infinite. The reality in the word thought is infinite. When you look at God and you begin to address words like wisdom, knowledge, understanding, truth, faith, love, hope, they all become infinite words. So when God opens a word like hope in your heart, when God opens a word like love in your heart, He's opened you to the infinite. It begins as a seed, the seed of Christ. But what comes out of the seed of Christ depends on what you receive and realize through the words that God brings into your heart. And human potential in God is limitless. Not because you have the intelligence to be limitless, but because the intelligence of God being opened into you through the word of God is infinite. Amen? That's why the Bible says nations will come to your rising. Why should nations come to people like you and me? How on earth can it happen? Unless God does one heck of a job with us. But that's what the Bible is saying. Amen? So when you read scripture, you must understand what the scripture is saying about you. The world is saying something else about you. Your situations and circumstances are saying something else about you. Your academic career is saying that you are a failure. The academic career is saying that you will not amount to very much. The work situation that you are in says that you are imprisoned. You can't go anywhere. Right? That you are actually a slave to your job. Your financial situation says you're a slave to the bank because you took too big a loan. And now everything that you find around you is loan upon loan upon loan. Now you live for the bank. But God wants to bring into you a different reality. Right? And that reality is pointing to limitless growth. Now you can sit down and mope about your financial situation. You can sit down and mope about the conditions in which you live. You can sit down and mope about the fact that they threw you out of school when you were in Form 3. But nothing is going to come out of that. You have to get out of that. So the Word of God gives you seed. And you have to sow the seed in your heart. And you have to ask God to make that seed grow inside of your heart so that you can see new things. Hello. Now in the natural too, that is true. In the natural, people say, leave what is sunk and let's go on to something else and let's start something else. It applies in the natural up to a point. Right? But in the spiritual, God opens you to the abiding. He opens you to the eternal. He opens you to the continuous. He opens you to things that will keep on growing forever and ever and ever. Because it is the Word of God. And the Word of God stands forever. The Word of God stands forever. Nothing you and I do stands forever. No matter how intelligent you are. You may not believe it, but in 100 years, Bill Gates will be irrelevant to the human race. Hello. But Moses will always be relevant to the human race. That's the difference. Because what God did through him, what God did through Abraham continues to live today. Why? Because God's in it. And this is what you must understand as you open the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is not just Word, it is of God. If the Word is not of God, it means nothing. But if the Word is of God, it means something because the Word of God will never pass away, because God cannot pass away. So when God tells us that He's giving us the Word of God, He's giving us an alternative to the Word that the world speaks of. Right? So yesterday the preacher was saying that he had a building project. I mean, he was building a church. And part of it was to put in the electrical wiring. And he says, I didn't know one wire from the next wire. But he said, the Holy Spirit taught me how to wire that whole building. And there was no flaw in the entire wiring. How do you like that? God taught him. How did God teach him? God showed him visions. God gave him instructions. And he just followed those instructions. And the building was wired. Praise the Lord. You see, the reality of God can be taken into everything that we do every day. The reality of God is not a religious reality. The reality of God is life. That's why God says, I am the life. The reality of God is a way. And He says, I am the way. Listen to this way, because this way will not close on you. This way, if you follow, you will not get lost. Right? You meet so many young people who are in their mid-30s and they are lost. They don't know whether they are coming or they are going. Right? Catching on to straws and saying, oh, if I do this, the next deal will make it for me. You can't live like that. You have to know that there is a way. When God opens the way, that way is for real. So when the Bible says that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your confession, the Bible is telling you something very powerful. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, a calling to be unveiled in heavenly places. where principalities, powers, mights and dominions that reign over the world exist today. And God is saying, I have called you to stand in those kind of positions. And He's saying, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. The apostle is the messenger. The high priest is the one who takes the message and then mediates it before God. So Jesus Christ does two things in our lives. He is the source of the confession, and He is also the high priest of the confession. So why would He be working in such a position over your life and my life? Simply because that confession is that important. So when you open your big mouth, or when I open my big mouth, I need to make sure what I'm saying. So last week when I took the tape back that I taped in this place and I listened to it, I realized that I had spoken that in a fit of anger. There was a hidden anger inside of me. And as I listened to the tape that I spoke last week, I realized there was a hidden anger inside of it. And that was not how God wanted me to speak. The facts were all correct. But the way it was delivered in the Spirit of God, it was not the right spirit. And I picked that up. And I realized I had to retape that tape. There's a lot of good stuff in that tape, but it didn't come out the way it should come. Which is why God says when you speak His word, when you declare His word, you have to be at peace. You have to rest in Him. When you are in a rage, right? Have you ever tried telling somebody about the gospel and you get angry with that person? You're doing nothing. You're bringing out the gospel in the wrong spirit. Yes, you are quoting the scripture and you're telling him Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. But it's all being manifested in the wrong spirit. It's bringing out the wrong sphere of influence. It is not bringing out the sphere of influence of God. It is bringing out the sphere of influence of your pride and your anger. You are angry because He is rejecting what you are saying. And you are saying, I know it is the truth, but He's not receiving it. And so you are angry. Your pride is reacting. Right? And you cannot preach the gospel like that. Are you with me? Right? In the same way when you pray for someone, right? You cannot pray for that person in anger. Right? Judging that person and condemning that person. If you have condemned that person in your prayer, how do you expect God to answer your prayer? You are saying one thing with your words and you're manifesting something in the underlying spirit of it all. Your spirit is sending that person to hell and your words are saying, oh Lord, open to him heaven. How can the two work together? There's nothing common between hell and heaven. Right? So if you want to preach the gospel, you have to understand that God is love. It has to be preached in that way. Right? So when you see Jesus talking to the sinner, you find that Jesus Christ had love in his heart. He had love in his eyes. He had compassion. His body language was one of compassion. Right? Sometimes we talk and our body language says, you're so dirty, I don't want to touch you. But we are telling them the gospel. It doesn't work. It doesn't communicate that way. I am so superior to you. Look how filthy you are. But this is what I have for you. That's not how God wants you to preach the gospel. Right? So that sphere of influence that you develop has to be developed in Christ. And it affects every aspect of your life, every aspect of your nature and your character. And you need to understand that as God develops the word inside of you, He's developing the witness inside of you. Alright? It is not just simply saying the words. When you talk to your wife, when you talk to your husband, what are you saying? The words are saying something. There is a meaning, there is a sphere of influence behind it. Sometimes it is it has the intent of killing the other person. Because the anger and the venom is like, it's like a spitting snake. Right? So if you're going to build a sphere of influence in the right way, you have to build it by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. You have to build it through the Word. And this has to be brought alive inside of you. So Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Praise the Lord. So he is mediating that confession, and he is going to bring it into a covenant. Right? So if you read in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 and 15, it says that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the covenant in our heart. What does it mean he is a mediator of the covenant? What is a covenant oath? What is an oath? An unshakable reality in God. And that's what he wants to create. So if you understand that the purpose of your mouth is to manifest something that is so powerful that it's unshakable, use your mouth carefully. Right? Because once you open your big mouth and you have released something, you can't take it back. Right? It will go out and it will do the work for which it has been sent. Now, God also said that, I have sent forth my word and it will accomplish the purpose for which I have sent it. In a smaller way, thank God it's in a smaller way. Right? When we speak, we send out words that have a purpose behind it. And sometimes that purpose is destructive. Sometimes that purpose is to undermine somebody. Sometimes that purpose is to remove the confidence a person has. Sometimes it is meant to deceive the person. Sometimes it is meant to bring into that person doubt. Sometimes it is meant to mislead that person. Sometimes we release words to control people, to make them do what we want. So the intents behind the words, the spheres of influence. What you must understand is Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth defiles you. The reason is this, once you release it, the witness is manifested inside of you. So if you release hate into somebody's life, the hate is inside of you too. Because the source of those words are from you. So you have inadvertently manifested the poison inside of you. So why is Satan the accuser of the brethren? He's the accuser of the brethren because he knows that if he makes you react to the accusation, he has now manifested the accusation inside of you. You have received it and you're reacting to it. You can't react to something that you have not received. So he knows exactly what he is doing when he accuses you. He's not bothered whether it's true or it's half true or it is nonsensical. He doesn't matter as long as it has an effect on you. Amen. So when Jesus said those words, Father, forgive them for they know not what they were doing, Jesus rejected everything that was done on his person. Everything that was projected against him, he just overcame it, right? And he cast it out of his life. Now that is why the Bible says you must love your enemies. Pray for those who curse you. It is not telling you something that is unrealistic. It is just telling you, don't let the curse come inside of you. Don't let the enmity of your enemies manifest inside of you. Don't receive your enemies' hatred inside of your own life and develop it inside of you, because it will destroy you. You are helping your enemy destroy you. Can you catch that? So important to understand that. So when you are living as husband and wife, make sure you speak the right words. Because if you don't speak the right words, you're going to pay for it later on. Because you just can't get away with it by just saying, I'm sorry. So before you say the sorry, watch what you say. So you don't have to say sorry, because sorry does not cleanse anything. Alright? Because you will hurt that person, you will cause that person to be angry in turn, you will cause that person to misunderstand you. Right? You will cause that person to think that you are against them. And if you keep reinforcing the idea that your wife is somehow inadequate, then she will become inadequate. The solution is to build her up so that she will be able to be an equal partner in your life. So when women run down their husbands, they're doing nothing good for them. All you're doing is you're cursing your own self. You're creating a bigger and a bigger problem because you keep undermining your husband. And that is a role that the husband plays in a marriage that a woman cannot replace. no matter who the woman is. Because when God created man and woman, He created them to complement each other. They have complementary roles. A man sees things one way, a woman sees things differently. You put the two together, you see clearly. But if you are at opposition with each other, then all you will see is conflict. Right? If you think I must have my way and he thinks he must have his way, what are you going to have? Nobody's going to have their way. And what you have after 10 years of marriage is a total disaster. Two people living in the same house, they don't talk to each other, they don't want to know about each other, they don't care what each other is doing. But we are living together because we have children. That is no reason to be married. Right? So it is very important for you to understand that in building your spheres of influence, God is talking about literal, practical things that happen every day in your life. And God wants you to live the Word of God, speak the Word of God, so that there will be repair. Because God is the healer. So if you speak words of healing, if you speak words of forgiveness, if you speak words of deliverance, and you can speak words of deliverance, right? God will come through those words and He will heal with those words. He will bring change with those words because He uses the word to create. He uses the word to create. Because in the word there is a witness. You must always understand that. And that witness creates. When I say the witness creates, I'm talking about the witness of God, okay? Right? The witness of God brings into us change and transformation. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher. Of our faith. What does that mean? That He is the source of our faith and He is the completer of our faith. You find that in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. What is this faith? It is one of the underlying realities of your confession. Right? You speak what you believe in. Or you speak with purpose. So, a faith that is destructive can destroy. So that is how witchcraft is born. When you manifest faith to destroy, when you manifest faith, right, to undermine, when you manifest faith to cause the wrong things to happen. But when faith is manifested with Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith, that faith will heal, that faith will release people, that faith will heal people. That faith will bring into two people's lives a unity. It will build them in a unity because at the heart of the faith of the Lord is this desire to make us one people. To bring forth a unity, to destroy the strongholds of division that divide us. So it's so important that you learn how to speak the right words. You cannot sit down in your prayer closet and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and the moment you step out of it, you're doing things some other way. You got to carry that same confession into your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It has to be manifested in what you do every day. And when you fail, you just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I did it in my flesh again. Teach me how to see I can do it in your spirit. Teach me how I can do it by you. Right? Teach me how I can run this company under your spheres of influence rather than my spheres of influence. It is common sense that God's spheres of influence are far more powerful than your own. So you need to learn how to do that. You don't know how to do that. It has to be cultivated. Yes, you will make mistakes. Why? Because you don't know these things. You have to learn how to do them step by step. Right? So if you make a mistake, there is always the forgiveness of the Lord. So turn back to the Lord and say, I blew it. Can we start again, Lord? Will you teach me how to do it the right way? Right? You go to college, you apply your mind to do things, and it works. You're young, everything is
is coming up roses, right? And you appear to be able to do all things, but you will realize as time goes by that you can't absorb things as fast as you did when you were young. So when I went back to university at the age of 33 to do my master's degree, I was shocked at how slow my brain had become. Because I never had to study before, in the real sense of the word. And suddenly I had to read things 5-6 times, something had gone by. Now I'm 50-something and I can learn things faster than I did when I was 20. The difference is God. The difference is the Spirit of Christ. The difference is that I can do things by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And I have a new life. And I'm not bluffing you. Now, some people are so impressed with what they can do. Really? That shows how small your thought process is. Right? So God wants to teach us to do things in His spheres of influence. He wants us to learn it. But so often Christians take the short way. I can do this thing. I've been doing this for the last 20 years. And you've missed the opportunity to find out how God can do it. You don't even bother to sit down and pray before you go for that meeting. You just sit down and say, okay, I've just done my best. I've worked hard. I've worked all the issues. I know it all. Let me go in and do the meeting. I've been doing this for the last 20 years. And for the last 20 years, what you don't understand is you have lost the opportunity to find out how different it would have been if God had been brought into it. It first starts off with prayer. Just asking God to be with you. Just asking God to be with, giving you favor. Just asking God to giving you new thoughts. It just starts with prayer. And then you begin to realize that it can become a lifestyle. That you can actually have a flow of God's thoughts coming out of your mouth. You can actually do the entire presentation with words you have not prepared. That you can bring it out spontaneously and it will bring out new ideas you never thought about. And it just comes out of you like that. And people are amazed at how intelligent you are. And you are functioning now with the intelligence of God. And the intelligence of God has got no limit, guys. The wisdom of God has got no limits. The power of God has got no limits. Why live with the mediocrity of yourself when you can live through the Word of God? When you can do things through God who strengthens you. Right? Through God who strengthens you. Praise the Lord. So Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Save to the uttermost. Nothing is impossible for God to change. Nothing is impossible for God to change. But for that to work, you have to come through him. And it says that he ever lives to intercede. Right? Because no matter what we do, it is less than the perfect. So he lives to intercede. What is he interceding? Lord, make it come to perfection. So that part that is the member of my body will function with my perfection. Function with my power. That everything will that is of me will flow through that person. Listening? So is it practical? It's very practical. Right? So sometimes we say words like, oh, I'm stupid. I should have known that. Why do you keep confessing words like that? So you made a mistake. Who doesn't make mistakes? Right? You may say, oh, it doesn't matter. But if you listen to the number of times you say you are stupid, you'll be amazed how many times you said that in your life. What are you saying? You are reinforcing the fact that you are a failure, that you make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And that is your lifestyle. Right? Right? Some people just get angry. For everything they get angry, right? And it becomes reinforced, right? They just allow the anger to come out. When the anger comes out, what happens? It manifests within them. Right? The witness of that anger begins to manifest. And then you begin over, after 10 years, you have developed the witness of anger in your life, and it's got so many different facets. And after 10 years, you can get angry at anything. What a great achievement. Right? Anything can irritate you. Anything can drive you up the wall. What a weakling. Right? And take that kind of a character and put it in a person who holds power, and you've got a tyrant manifesting. Right? And it starts with small things. Right? I'm sure Hitler was a pretty nice kid. Right? Until he allowed the anger and the hate to build inside of him. Right? Right? The anger and hate built in so many different ways. And how many human lives paid for it? How much of pain he brought on his nation? And how many human beings have done that sort of thing over and over again? Right? You are a father. You want to be protective over your daughters. So you keep them in your house and you tell them exactly what to do. What are you doing? You're stopping them from ever making decisions from themselves and growing up. You're stopping them from making decisions and finding out from their own failures the lessons of life. What are you creating? You're creating one gigantic baby. Right? With a boo thing in the mouth. Can you imagine a 30-year-old woman going around with a boo thing in her mouth? She can't go outside the house because she's never been outside. Now, why did the father do that? Oh, I just wanted to protect my child. You cannot protect your child like that. You have to trust God to protect your children. Right? They have to go out. They have to learn how to live their life. They have to learn how to find a job for themselves. Right? They have to learn the lessons of life. You can't just protect them and say, I will keep them from all pain and all harm. Because there are lessons in life learned through pain. Doesn't God allow you to go through pain? Doesn't He feel your pain? Yes, He does. Doesn't He weep over your pain? Yes, He does. But He also knows that you have to learn out of that pain. Because there are some lessons we only learn when we are pained. Right? When it has cost us enough, then we learn, oh yes, I can't do that kind of thing. I shouldn't be in this place in the first place. Right? Okay? So we have to learn these things, right? Praise the Lord. Okay? So Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. But the good thing is that this verse tells us He is able to save to the uttermost. There's nothing that He cannot save. Will you try Jesus? So many people refuse to. All kinds of con men people believe in. But to come to Jesus is such a big task. Why? Because you're not willing to face up to the light that He will manifest. Because in His light you will see your darkness. But what you need to understand is that darkness is real. That darkness will destroy you. You have to deal with it. It won't just magically go away. It will affect every area of your life. It will ruin your marriage. It will ruin the way you bring up your kids. It will ruin the way in which you have relationships with anybody. So the darkness has to be dealt with. It won't go away. It is destructive. It is designed to be destructive. It is designed to destroy everything that is good inside of you. Why do you want to have an ambition that you want to be a total and pure manifestation of evil? That you are totally ruthless. All you want is money. So you will sell your heart for your money. Once you have sold your heart, what do you have? Nothing. So when God wants to create the right sphere of influence, He uses the Word of God, and the Word of God is open to you in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible introduces the Holy Spirit as the helper. In John chapter 16. Right? John chapter 16 verse 14. John chapter 14 verse 16 rather. John chapter 14 verse 16, and I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Amen. He will be in you forever. Just imagine that you have the privilege of having God alive in you. And you can build a partnership with God the Holy Spirit that will unveil your life forever. You can do all things by the Spirit of God. You can do all things by the Spirit of God, meaning you have access to everything God has given you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Nothing will be withheld from you as long as you're willing to look for things through Christ Jesus. God can give you insights you never had before. God can give you solutions you've never thought before. It's no problem for Him to give you a solution. Right, you have a great marketing plan, and He says, you want to, you're in this marketing plan. If it's a personal marketing plan, you say, I have to see 10 clients every day. And God will save you a heck of a lot of time by telling you, just go and see this guy at 3 o'clock in the evening and he will give you the deal. And it will be $3 million. And suddenly you have earned enough for 6 months. Why agonize over going through 10 clients every day and being thrown out of 9 offices? Right? 70% of those clients looking at you, why are you such a pest? Haven't you got anything else to do with your life? Right? You come and bug me. Right? How much more easier it is to do something through the Lord. So you have a concept in physics that you find it hard to understand. Why don't you try praying in tongues? And lo and behold, the next morning you will understand it. Who do you think created all those laws of physics? You mean to say Einstein invented E equals MC squared? I mean, seriously, guys. Who do you think invented that word, that equation? Who do you think had that equation designed into the universe? Right? You go to see a doctor, assuming you're a doctor, patient comes to see you, and the Holy Spirit says, that's the problem. Shows you a vision and says, this is how you can do the job. Through surgery. Is that very hard? So what do? You just take that patient and just run the test that will confirm what's wrong with that patient. You can have more time for yourself. As a doctor, you don't have to run around as if your head is chopped off. Having so many cases to attend to, you can work efficiently, you will know exactly, you save money for the poor fellow. You don't have to do 1 million tests to check out something. Right? You just have to do the test to confirm what's wrong. Now how much easier is that? Right? But we insist that we must do it our way. So we do it the hard way. Listening? Praise the Lord. There's so many things you can do with your life through God. Develop it. Develop the sphere of influence by God. What does it mean? Let God come through, guys. Yes, there is a learning process. How many years did you go before you got your first degree? How many years did you study? Right? 14 years, 15 years before you got your first degree? 20 years? Whatever it is. You studied so many years, but when it comes to God, you want it done tomorrow morning. Don't you think that learning from God, which is perfect learning because the lessons of the learning will be built into your being forever, should naturally take longer time? But actually it takes shorter time, because God teaches perfectly. Yeah? So, listen to the Lord and let Him teach you. Learn how to live a new life. Right? Don't lock Him inside religious doors and say, you cannot come to me with me to the office. You are omniscient, omnipotent, but omnipresent, but you cannot be in my office with me. Because I'm dealing with real world problems, Lord, and you are out of date. There's a lot of young people think like that. I know it all. Don't be a fool, you know nothing. Don't pretend as if you know something. How do you know? You know where you're going to be in 5 years' time. You know what you're going to do. Oh yes, I know it all. Really?
For every fool who reached where he would be in 5 years' time, there are 1,000 who did not. And when you reach your destination, it'll also appear to be nothing as what you imagined it will be. So listen to the word of God and understand the word of God and walk into what God has for you. The word of God has to be confessed through your life. Not just through your mouth, but through your life. Because ultimately, you are called to live your life. You can't just be a person by talking. You have to walk into things. You have to do.
All right. Ultimately, you have to understand that things in your life have to come out in your life. You have to live it. Something is not real until it is lived. And you don't have anything in God until you can live it. It is not spiritual hype. What God gives you is as real as this chair is real. It's in fact more real than this chair. Because it comes through your being, it comes through your body, it comes through your soul, it comes through your mind, it comes through your heart, it comes through your nature, it comes through your character, it comes through what you speak, what you do, it comes through, right? What you become, right? So you have to live it. It is not bluff. The things of God are not religious things. They are real things that affect you every day. How you do your work, how you speak to your colleagues, how you run your department, how you run your company, how you plan your company, how you run in your professional, how you practice your profession, how you run your business, right? And you need to understand that it has to be lived. So confession doesn't just simply mean opening your mouth. It also means living that confession. So you have to be effectual doers of the word, not forgetful hearers. And anything you don't practice, you will forget. That's true in the natural. You can go to university, get a first class honors in engineering, and if you don't practice it in 1 year's time, you won't even know what you studied. You have to put it into practice. What is not put into practice, you forget. And if you get into a profession and you start specializing, you realize that after 2-3 years of your specialization, you have forgotten those things that you have learned before. Because you no longer are in those things. So you realize as you specialize, right, those things just fall away. Right? In the same way, God is also building you so that you will realize things in Him. The difference between the world system and what is in God is that what you learn in God remains in you forever. And the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. So you're not limited by your capacity to remember, your capacity to understand, your capacity to recollect. In God, God can take things. He can take things you have been through and bring it out 5 years' time in a recast form that is totally new to you. And you realize, my goodness, He did teach me this 5 years ago, and now He's brought it out in a whole new way. I have a whole new way of living. Nothing is impossible with you. What you don't have, God can create. Right? Because God used the word to create. And if God's in the word that you are listening to and meditating on, He will create. He will fashion into you what you don't have. And it's exciting to live like that. So don't ever think Christianity is a religious program. It's not. It is about life. It's where the rubber hits the road, in the things you do every day. Right? If it's not tested in the things you do every day, it's a bluff. Now, whether you are in the kitchen cooking or whether you're in a corporate office, the reality of God can still come through. See, God takes us from where we are to where He is. That's what we must understand. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, God says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. I think it is verse 7 or 8, one of those verses. Right? As high as the heavens are above the earth, are my thoughts above your thoughts. What is he saying? That the purpose of the word is to bring my thoughts into your thoughts, so that your thoughts will be my thoughts, so that you will learn how to think like I think. Amen? And how awesome is the transference. So that's why the Lord talks about the mount of the Lord. And David says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may ascend into the mount of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now the clean hands and the pure heart God has to shape through his word. Because cleanliness, purity, holiness are realities. They are not concepts. They are realities. To have clean hands, you must actually believe that clean hands are worth it. You must actually know what clean hands means. You must have to have the strength to have clean hands. You have to have the confidence and the conviction to live with clean hands. So the ability to live with clean hands is a pretty powerful skill in a corrupt world. Pure heart. A pure heart that sees God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. And God says, I will create that clean heart. And that's not Old Testament. That is very much New Testament, because the real creation of that clean heart is happening now in the substance of the Master's fullness. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And we need to practice that in our lives, not simply sit down and read the Bible. What are you just reading the Bible for? Hello, the Bible has to be lived, guys. What's the point of reading that Moses opened the Red Sea, how many years ago? 3,400 years ago. What about the Red Sea today? Isn't there a Red Sea today in your life? Right? Okay. So when God tells you that he opened the Red Sea 3,400 years ago, he's trying to tell you something. That the God who opened the Red Sea is still very much God. It's just that you haven't discovered him to do those kind of things. So where do you find the Red Sea? It is out there. Go out and live it. Right? Go out and see it being manifested in your life. Don't sit there and look at yourself and say, oh, poor, woe is me. Life has passed me by. How many people live like that? Hello, you are a creature of eternity. If you are 65 years old today and you have to start learning something new, start today. Because you're going to live forever. It's never too late to start doing something differently. Yeah, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Right? You know, Pastor, life has passed me by. Everybody has cheated me. You know, now I'm 65 years old. I'm sitting all alone. My children don't want me. Hello, get up and get out of it. Forget about the children. Forget about the past. Forget about all those who have disappointed you. Start doing things differently. Leave it in God's hands. Maybe he'll bring back the children before you go back to the Lord. But if anybody is going to do it, it's going to be God. So let's turn. Let's stop meditating the problem. There's no solution in the problem. The solution is in God. The solution comes by God. The solution is manifested through God. The solution is sustained by God. So many people get the solution in 10 years' time, they are back in the same rut. Why? Because they didn't understand that the solution has to be sustained by God. Praise the Lord. So when God talks about you and me confessing the word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The emphasis should be through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So what are you doing about that? Just keeping repeating that, like what is magic? There's no magic in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, everything starts with small beginnings. So God said you're going to be an apostle to the nations. Brother, it starts with the home fellowship that you start. It starts with you sitting down and asking God to teach you the word of God. And you have to give him that time and trust him to build it inside of you. You have to spend the time, you have to make the sacrifices, and God will bring the rewards. Every step that you grow in God, there will be rewards. God doesn't teach you in a vacuum. He doesn't say, I will ask you to walk into nowhere for 10 years, nothing will happen. So God asked Abraham to leave Ur of Chaldees and go into somewhere that he didn't know about. But every step of the way, God was there reinforcing the choices that Abraham made. Right? God blessed him, God gave him favor, God protected him, God led him, God showed him real things. Right? God spoke with him, right? God showed him that he was real for his life. It was not just make-believe, airy-fairy religion. Real things happened in his life. Praise the Lord. So, what real things are happening in your life and my life? That's the question. Where is God in our life? Because the witness has to be manifested in a testimony. The testimony is the life you live. Amen? If our God is real, then He has to be seen through our lives. He has to be seen in the way we do things, the way we speak, the way we build relationships, the way we do anything and everything. That's why David writes, the word of God is tested. Tested where? Tested in my life. Not in Paul's life. Tested in my life. It has made a difference in my life. It has made me a different person. I spend time in the Word of God because the Word of God has made radical change in my life. God's been in His Word and God has proven His Word. I'm not speaking the Word of God because I've got nothing else to do with my time. I enjoy saying it, I enjoy preaching it, I enjoy living it. It's good stuff. I'm 51 years old and God, I have life. I have a brand new life. I have a better life today than I ever had at 20. Right? And the reason is because of the Word of God. And you need to understand that. Don't sit down there, oh, life has passed me by, they have retired me, they gave me this nice watch. It's been 10 years now, it's a bit clinky. Right? What are you going to get out of that? You know, in those days, we used to do this and we used to do that. What are you living? You're trying to live the past. The past is gone, brother. You have to live today. You know, my son is an engineer. You know, he's got double master's degree. Hello, your son is not your life. It is the life you live that is your life. So your son is very well qualified, great. What difference does that make to you? It's about how you live your life. You can't live your life through your children. Don't get me wrong, huh? I'm not saying children are not important. Children are our heritage, right? And God wants to bless us from generation to generation. Now, what are you doing with your life? Because your life is your life. You know, there is stewardship over your life. You have to give account for your life to God. You can't turn around and say, oh Lord, everything I have is in my son. God is saying, what about the life I gave you? I can understand you have blessed your son. That's great. But what about the life that I have given you? What have you done with it? Are you with me? Right? You have to grow. There are things that God wants to bring forth in your life. You know? I can teach people, I can lay hands and pray for people. But at the end of it all, I could have blessed so many people. But at the end, I'm accountable for my life. What have I done with my life? Who am I living my life for? I'm accountable for it to God. So you're sitting down at home, you're a young person who has been disappointed in life, and you're sitting down there and you're saying, I dare not go out into the world, you know, I can't fit into the world. Hello, you have to go out of the world. You have to go out and you have to do something. And things start with basic things. Basic things like getting an education. Right? Looking at what skills you have. What do you do with those skills? Put them into practice. Start a small business. Right? If you are a cook, start a small business. Start with 5 people and say, I will cook for you. Right? And begin a business. Then soon you employ somebody to also help you. And that's how you build a business. A simple thing. You have a skill to cook, so cook and live through it. Don't sit down there and say, oh, I must be a doctor because my father told me I will be a doctor. I've got all these straight C's, but you know, I want to be a doctor. How many people have tried to live ambitions like this and ended up wasting their whole life? There's so many opportunities along the way, but we have missed out because somebody told us that that is not the right status kind of job. What's wrong with an honest job? Just imagine what a world we will have if there were no garbage collectors. Hello, we will all be dead. So everyone has a place. One day we will have a different place. But the thing that God tells us is, do what you are called to do. Do it faithfully. Do it well. Do it for me. And there's no shame in doing simple jobs. There is no shame in being simple. It is a great privilege to be able to be a blessing. Because believe me, that woman who gave 2 mites is in a far higher position today than all those guys who brought bags of gold. Today she sits in a position that will probably be an amazing position in God. And I once heard a pastor who was caught up to heaven, and God gave him in an instant 200 verses that he did not know. And he just knew it, just like that. If God can put knowledge inside of you like that, the fact that you can't study today means nothing. Hello. So, you know, you look down at the person who can't study, you know, I'm all a straight A student. It may not always be like that. Spheres of influence, the realities of God. Look to God, and He will bring things into your life you have never imagined being there. Praise the Lord. Always remember this, guys. Live your life. Live your life. Live your life. Live your life. Don't sit there and mope. There are no answers in moping. There are no answers in feeling sorry for yourself. Expecting somebody else to carry you. No, you have to get up and ask God to build you and enable you to go out and walk and do things. There's so many opportunities to do things. You can do correspondence courses. You can do so many other things. Right? And ask the Lord to lead you. Right? Pray. Pray in tongues. Ask the Lord to energize within you the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why won't He give it to you? Of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Ask and go into it. Ask and keep asking for it by energizing that wisdom. Every day. You know, there's so many things God wants me to do. You know, as I look at what God expects of me, I haven't a clue of what that's going to be. But I know it will come through. All I have to do is fix my eyes on the Lord. He will open the door. He will enable me. He will teach me. He will show me. Because He's done that for 10 years in my life. And He's done it very, very well. Nobody can teach you like God can teach you. And I'm not telling you that for the fun of it. I'm telling you that something that's very real. When God first told me to write a book, He said, write. And I said, how can you write something that you don't even know? He said, write. I said, Lord, that's illogical. How can you write something that you don't know? He said, write. I said, all right, I'll write. So I opened my PC and I started typing. 1 year later, I had a book. I learned the subject and I wrote the book. God enabled it. 190 pages. In small print. That's a lot of stuff to write about a subject you didn't know when you started on. You know something? In that entire book, I never changed anything. He just brought it alive to me, and I just kept typing. Never went back and changed, put this page there and put that page here, nothing. It just came through, it came a book, that's it. That was the first time. The second time he made it a little bit more complicated. But in everything he taught me how I could learn from him and draw from him. So you also have to learn it. And he's got a program for your life. So when your son has is giving you a problem, don't sit down there and mope on the problem. Oh my goodness, I just caught him watching X-rated movies on the internet. Hello. So what do you sit down there? Oh, don't bring the law and say, now you shall not watch movies. Hello. There has to be something more than just the law. You have to start praying and ask God to change his heart and mind. Because you've got to break that desire for that kind of thing. Because it's a spirit. And then you realize when God delivers your son, oh my goodness, God comes through in these kind of things. Yeah? Praise the Lord. So there's so much of God to discover. Go out and discover him. Praise the Lord. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. Right? You cannot remember someone you don't know. So is Jesus real in your life or not? I don't mean when you go to church. I don't mean when you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you pray. I mean when you are sitting for lunchtime and talking to someone, or you're sitting down in a heavy day's work and you have five project deadlines to meet, and you haven't a clue of whether you're coming or you're going. Is Jesus still there, or has he been put inside the broom closet? Do you still remember him or not? If you remember him, then you have hope. Right? If you don't remember him, you are lost. Alright? So, in Holy Communion, the Lord is talking about life, the things you do every day. Hello? Luke 22. I love this passage of scripture. I've read it hundreds of times and it still gives me a revelation. When the hour had come, verse 14, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. There is a position for you as a member of the church with Jesus Christ. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You know why the word of God will work in your life? Because Jesus fervently desires it. That's why it will work. When everything else has failed, it will work in your life for one and one reason only, because he desired it. Amen. When everyone else has left you dry, Jesus still has a desire to see the best come out of your life. When everyone else thinks you're a hopeless case, Jesus thinks that everything is possible in your life. Amen. And that's why it is possible. When everyone else has deserted you and said you are not worth it, the Lord Jesus says you are still mine because I purchased you in my blood. Praise the Lord. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He suffered 2,000 years ago on a cross. Do you know that he still suffers when he intercedes for you? When he sees you doing the wrong things, saying the wrong things, being in the wrong place, do you know how much it pains his heart? Do you know that he is the author and finisher of your faith? Do you know how hard that is? To bring out a real faith inside a person like you and me. Now how hard it is, how patient he has to be, how discerning he has to be. Just imagine if you had to do it, you know how much it will take out of you? But that's the heart of God. Amen? So he says, with fervent desire I have desired. What an awesome thing. To suffer? How do you fervently desire and then suffer for it? And then he says, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is making a vow there, you know. He's saying that it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Brethren, where is the kingdom of God? It is inside of you. Jesus is not talking about airy-fairy religion. He's talking about fulfillment in your life. Fulfillment, guys. The word will be fulfilled. If you understand the word of God, that little boy who's standing there, right, has got tremendous potentials in his life. But for you to see that in him, you have to grow in the Lord. It won't come by magic because my pastor says so. Right? You have to see it and you have to pray it into his life. And you have to speak the right words to see the right things come out of his life even when he is doing the wrong thing. And you can only do that if you have seen God bring it forth in your life. That although things were going haywire in your life, you kept saying and speaking the word of God in your life and you saw, behold, the darkness suddenly cleared away and there was a way. And I found that way and I found a life. Then you know it. Then you can pray it into him. Hello. And it's a legacy. What you pray over his life will stay over his life because what you pray stands in the God who sustains that prayer. If prayer was just my words and your words, then it will just disappear. After it comes out of our mouth, that's it. But if prayer is made in God, it will manifest this Passover. And it will be sustained over that lad's life from generation to generation. It will flow through his generations. God says, I will bless for 1,000 generations those who love me. That's quite a sphere of influence, isn't it? Where do you want to find influence that will flow through 1,000 generations? Who can have such an influence? Only God. Praise the Lord. So think like kings, guys. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Share it among yourselves. What was that cup all about? His witness. Amen. His witness manifested through the cross. And he says, take that witness and share it. Now that witness comes out of the word that is performed in your life. This is not a theological witness. This is real witness that is living inside of you. So what has Jesus done in your life? Or what have you allowed him to do in your life? Alright? So he says, what you have realized in your life, take it and share it. Take this witness that you know about and share it. So when you look at that little boy again, so what witness are you sharing with him? What is the cup you are sharing with him? I know you love him. Right? So I know this pretty lady sitting next to you whom you married a year ago or 6 months ago. Right? I know you love her. But what is the witness you have shared with her in those 6 months of marriage? What about the 30 years of marriage? A taste of hell or a taste of heaven? That's why the Lord says, be you not unequally yoked, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. You know that is also an oath? It's an oath. He says the fruit of the vine will come. Where are the fruit of the vine going to come from? From the branches. Who are the branches? You and me are the branches. So Jesus is looking forward to fruitfulness in our lives. He suffered to pay the price for that fruitfulness to come forth. Therefore, nothing should stop that fruitfulness from coming forth. So why do you hold on to all the dark things that people have done to you? My brother did this to you. My mother-in-law said this to me. My father-in-law did this to me. They cheated me. They do this. Why are you meditating on nonsense for? Throw the junk. Flush it down the toilet. Not your mother-in-law, but you know... what she said to you. Right? Flush the evil down the toilet. That's where Satan is. Right? Let him have it all. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You are a member of the body of Christ. What did Jesus say? Tear down this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. In John chapter 2 verse 21, it is said that he was speaking of his body. You and I are his body. If you are a member of his body, will you not be manifested in wisdom, knowledge, understanding? Will you not be manifested in the prosperity that God has for his sons? Will you not be manifested as a perfect human being? Hello? Will you not be manifested as a perfect human being? How do we know we will break out of sin? Because I'm a member of the body of Christ. I will be sinless one day. No matter how many times I fail, Jesus will not fail in my life. It's not about the law, it's about what Jesus has achieved and what Jesus will achieve in my life. He will not fail. His faith will not fail. My faith will be authored and perfected in his faith, and that faith was indestructible. Not because I am a good guy, but because he is perfect. And I have in him access to all of him. It's been given to me free of charge. I only have to receive. I only have to keep my focus on him. It will happen. It will take time, but 100% it will happen. It's been happening for the last 10 years, 14 years. 14 years I've been a Christian. He's never failed me. Even when at times when I felt I was all alone, he's never failed me. And I know it. You know it too. Otherwise you won't be here. Praise the Lord. So don't let sin overcome you. Don't let sin get into your thought processes. Oh my goodness, this is perfection. I can't reach perfection. It's not about you. The rich young man comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to have eternal life? And what does the Lord tell him? Takes him to the law. The young man says, I've observed the law. And Jesus says, you don't understand what you're saying. So he tells him, go and sell everything, follow me. The young man walks away dejectedly. Right? Because Jesus had just told him something that he can't do. The apostles turn around and to Jesus and say, if this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who is going to come inside of it? And what does the Lord turn around and say? With man it is impossible. So we are partaking this Passover to celebrate what God can do in your life and my life. So Jesus says, remember me. Remember and understand what I can do with you. This is not about you being a Christian. It's about me making you a Christian. It's about you realizing what I can bring forth inside of your life. But keep your focus on me, remember me, understand who I am, understand what you have in me, and go ahead and take it. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. New covenant, it's an oath in his blood. So how can you fail? When he has sworn an oath in his blood, in the faith and love that he manifested over death, how can you and I fail? Praise the Lord. So that is the basis of the confession of the word. This covenant that stands inside of that word. The faith and love of Jesus for you. Confess it. Receive that faith and love that is perfect. That does the impossible. And you will become all that God wants you to become. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. Thanking you, Father, for what you have given us in your Son. You have put your word into our mouth and into our hearts, Lord. It's there. And as we speak it forth and as we live it, Lord, you mean for that word to be performed in each and every one of our lives. No exceptions. And we don't have to earn this reality. We only have to walk into it, Lord. It has been given to all of us. Nothing has been withheld from any one of us, Lord. Because of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and nobody could observe the law, Father. But grace and truth are realized through Jesus Christ, were realized through Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Lord, that as we realize your word will be performed in us, and your word will bring forth realities that will transform us, create us, fashion us, form us, Lord. So we thank you that as we receive your word and as we choose to live your word will be perfected into us, Lord. So as we partake of this Passover, We are celebrating the word that you are performing in our lives in the spirit and life of Jesus. The word that you are performing in our lives in the faith and love of Jesus. The word that you are performing in our lives in His character and His nature. The word that you are performing in our lives, O God, in His witness and testimony. And all that Jesus has cannot fail, Father. So we are participating of this covenant in a Passover with gratitude and with joy, Father. Because we know, Lord, that Jesus Christ will win in our lives. So we thank you. We ask you therefore to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling the prophetic dimensions, O God, of His fullness, all the potentials of His fullness in each and every one of our lives, in the lives of our children and the lives of our generation, Father. And we know you have blessed us, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.